just getting people to do performance testing. That's kind of my mission in life right now, is just to get people to rethink how they're doing performance testing, and to realize that performance testing is not just that war room anymore, that it can happen in CI. Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And today we're going to be speaking with Michael Sage from Blaze Meter, all about agile open source performance testing. And I think as we get near the holiday season, more and more companies need to start thinking about, are their applications going to be able to handle the load that holiday traffic usually places on their systems? In this episode, Michael shares some awesome open source tools, as well as agile practices you can put into place, along with some Blaze Meter functionality that's going to ensure that you're going to reach performance automation awesomeness this holiday season. But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Test Talks is sponsored by the fantastic folks at Sauce Labs, the cloud-based automated testing platform that eliminates the need to maintain your own Selenium grid and test infrastructure. Try it for free today. Visit testtalks.com and click on the Sign Up Now link under the homepage sponsor section. Hey, Michael, welcome to Test Talks.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. Today, I'd like to talk about Blaze Meter and performance testing in general. Before we get into it, though, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah. So I've been working in the testing world for about 15 years now. I used to be a systems engineer with Mercury Interactive way back in the day. So I remember the old-time tools, WinRunner and Test Director and LoadRunner and so forth. Kind of followed that trajectory for a while. And then a few years ago, I kind of broke out into the emerging world of startups and DevOps and so forth. And spent a little time with New Relic, and now I'm working with Blaze Meter.
Great. So you bring up a great point. You've worked with more established technologies, I would say, so HP's LoadRunner. From someone that actually has that background, I'm an old-time LoadRunner performance engineer, but I haven't really kept up with performance testing the past few years. Is there anything new with performance that people need to be aware of if they're getting started now with the tools or with the technology?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I think that like everything else, the fact that the way that we develop software has so radically changed over the last 5 or 10 years, that's impacted the way we have to test software as well. And I think that one of the last bastions, if you will, of the old way of doing things has been performance testing. People still think about the war room test. You know, we do a big test toward the end of a release cycle, or maybe these days toward the end of a sprint or something like that, that involves, you know, very well thought out scripts that take a little while to develop in a vendor specific tool. And we have to schedule everyone together for this event that we call the load test. And then we run that load test and, you know, find some bottlenecks and go fix them and do it again. And that's turning out to not work because the same logic that we use for continuous integration and continuous delivery with regard to other kinds of testing. In other words, finding the defects as soon as possible after the code was written and being able to, you know, manage that process in the same mental context. A developer writes some code, we discover some performance bottlenecks related to that commit or that build, and then fix them quickly. And that's basically where I think the cutting edge right now is on performance testing, is just getting it done earlier in the delivery workflow.
Awesome. Great answer. And the reason why is I see a lot of teams struggling with performance testing. And just like you said, a lot of times they still have this mentality where we'll wait till after the code is written, after we have everything tested, then we'll go into performance. And that's really losing the benefits of finding performance issues early when you really can fix them. So how does an agile team in a sprint go about performance testing? Do you recommend every sprint team does performance testing, or how does that break out nowadays?
Well, I don't know that we've really found a discipline that makes sense for everybody. I think it's really based on the team structure. And that's one of the interesting emergence in the delivery styles and workflows that are out there. I think that if it makes sense, a developer could start doing performance testing on his or her features really right from their desktop. And we have the open source tools now where you don't really need to invest a lot of upfront effort in getting a performance testing script written and ready. You can actually do that pretty quickly. In fact, BlazeMeter has a technology. We sponsor an open source project called Taurus, which allows developers to write their test in YAML. So they can actually describe a full-blown script in about 10 lines of text. A big, big leap forward from the old days of having to bring up a big, heavy, you know, vendor-specific recording scripting tool. So you could have developers writing a test and running some load against their local build for the features that they're working on during a sprint. But I think the better place, the more obvious place to be running load tests is actually in CI. So even in the context of whether it's agile or, you know, some customized Kanban style workflow that a team is using, hopefully they're starting to commit to an integration server and do continuous integration builds. At that point, I think, is where we start to see the real first place that a load test should really be executed. And for example, we have a Jenkins plugin for our product, but also the Taurus product I mentioned, you could just run that from a shell. And so in Jenkins, you could add a build job for a shell script that runs a load test and just tells you whether or not that, you know, it could even be the level of a smoke test. Low concurrency, really not a lot of think time or any elaborations. Just throw a bunch of load at that build and see if it falls down.
Awesome. I definitely agree with that approach. I definitely want to get more into BlazeMeter and Taurus, but I just want to follow up on this concept. So if you're running in CI, what do you recommend? Do you have an environment specific to performance? Like back in the day, we used to try to make a performance environment as realistic as possible to production. And right. I never had success with that because I always end up running a production, you know, on off hours to try to get realistic results. So I like the idea that you said maybe running a baseline test to get a feel for what the relative performances, or you're saying also you can run a full-blown performance test in CI every night or something like that?
Well, that's a good point. And I think that we can actually, again, because we have the tools now to really flexibly create these tests, we can run different kinds of tests at different meaningful points. So if I'm a developer in my local environment, you know, naturally I'm running some scaled-down version. Maybe I have just some, you know, MongoDB running locally, and it's you know, when it's in production, it's part of a much more complex cluster or whatever. I still have the main components of the stack available to me in my local environment, so I can run a performance test. And again, like you said, it's kind of a baseliner. It gives me just some idea of whether or not my code is performing as I expect it to. Then, of course, the next stage, the CI stage, with a lot of people committing to the same master branch or trunk. And there we have kind of the next level up. Maybe so the early test can be low concurrency, and they should be fast, small scoped tests. We don't want to spend a lot of time trying to emulate real world conditions. We just want to throw a bunch of requests at an endpoint and see if it, you know, falls down, see if there are concurrency defects or 500 errors or whatever. Then the next stage, the CI stage, we may want to get a little more elaborate, but still, we don't want to slow down the build. We don't want to artificially delay the feedback that is the whole point of CI. So there, we also want smaller scope, fast-running tests. But then, yes, then we want to deploy to staging or a rehearsal environment. And while it won't look exactly like production, obviously these days with Dockers and other kinds of technologies, we can actually get pretty close to production. And we want to run some more realistic scenarios there. There's where we're talking about the more traditional kind of load test, where we introduce think time. And we have, you know, staggered workloads in our load profile. So some users are doing, you know, one path through the app, others are doing something else, and we're mixing and matching those conditions a little more. And then, of course, finally, we really should run load tests in production. And obviously, we need to be careful about that. Yep. But there is no replacement for those production conditions. And so find a time where user impact is negligible or the lowest it can possibly be in that, you know, period, and run a reasonable load test. Don't try to break it. Don't run a stress test. But run a reasonable load test and collect those metrics. So, you know, again, I think, you know, there are sort of four different places: local, CI, staging or QA, and production, where we can run kind of a growing body of tests along that left to right spectrum.
Awesome. What is Docker and how does that fit into performance? Is that something you see as a trend that's going to grow in the future? And how does technologies like Blaze Meter handle that?
Yeah, so I mean, to a degree, in that kind of context, Blaze Meter is somewhat technology neutral. What I see, the place I see Docker being most meaningful to testing is in providing those kinds of environments where we can spin up a test lab super easily, right? We have these Docker images, they can work together in a kind of a cluster, and we can create in a staging environment a relatively accurate performance lab that I think the infrastructural kind of architecture, the infrastructural characteristics of that performance lab get closer and closer to production. I think the piece that generally is missing is the network behaviors, right? You can't really duplicate the way the internet is, you know, and the backbones and latencies and things like that. So, but with Docker, it gives us this tremendous flexibility in creating test environments that we can spin up and throw away. I mean, we don't have to put any effort into ordering any hardware or, you know, managing any lab and paying people who just do that or just manage our QA lab. We can literally just spin up a lab that's everything we need. And then when the test is done, we can dispose of it. So that kind of flexibility is new. But also, I think Docker's, in an architectural sense, they're sort of making their way into production around what are generally called microservices, which are discrete, you know, business services. It's kind of a rethinking of SOA in a lot of ways, but it's a way of saying, you know, this functionality, let's say, you know, if it's an online bank, we have an account management service, and then we also have maybe a mortgage service. And these are two separate services, and they may be created by separate teams. And the benefit of microservices is, first, they lend themselves very well to continuous delivery. You have a single team working on a single stack that is just focused on their code. When they have a performance problem with their, you know, let's say account management service, they can fix that performance problem much more easily than with a monolithic app where there are, you know, dozens of services running in one big stack. So we have that kind of flexibility of managing the continuous delivery process better because we're focused on a known domain of business logic and code. Then when you're performance testing that, obviously you reap the benefits of CI, as we discussed earlier. When you bring all those microservices together, you have those complex scenarios that we want to test with the more traditional style performance testing or load testing. And the place that Docker occupies there is when you do have problems, you can actually just swap out one machine with another. You can kind of hot swap the machines that provide this service to the rest of the business. But essentially, Docker gives us a kind of flexibility for both development and testing that we're still sort of new to. It's even more flexible and more adaptable than virtual machines, sort of VMware style.
Awesome. Now, this is awesome stuff. So talking more about, like you said, we have newer tools. A lot of things have changed in the past 5 years with testing and performance testing. It almost sounds like we're going towards continuous integration, continuous delivery. And for that to happen, a lot of things need to be automated. It's not so much now functional automation. It could be anything automated. It sounds like Docker and Vagrant fit into that, where we're able to automate the deployments of services and servers and bring them up automatically rather than have someone manually go in and do these types of activities.
That's right. And, you know, what we're seeing as far as that continuous delivery workflow, you know, everybody finds the tool chain that works for them, but the commonalities are starting to kind of stabilize a little bit. I mean, you know, GitHub is the big, you know, version control player now, and everyone's using GitHub. Maybe they're using Mercurial or Subversion, but GitHub is very dominant. And when it comes to functional testing, of course, Selenium has really exploded over the last few years. And largely for the same kinds of reasons that I've been talking about for the other technologies, you have a programmatic approach, a developer-friendly approach to traditional functional testing, right? User space functional testing, kind of presentation layer, interacting with the web app and making sure that various controls are working and various calculations are being handled properly and so forth. You know, there's no need to launch a Windows-only record and replay tool that uses an outdated language like VBScript. I can write a full-blown Selenium test that tests my user journeys through a particular important part of the application in Ruby or Python or Java or C# or whatever. And I think, you know, there's still testers who do that, but I think that's developer-friendly enough that if I'm a developer, I want to see how my code works, and I want to start writing some of those tests. It gives me a sense of knowing that the code works, and also just a bit of pride and satisfaction in seeing it work. So that's kind of the Selenium piece next. And then we have, of course, the load testing piece. And that's the new one, right? That's Taurus, or there are some other solutions like Gatling, which is a Scala-based load testing solution, or Locust.io, which is Python. JMeter is the heavyweight. JMeter is the tool that we mostly use at BlazeMeter. It's the most popular open source tool in the load testing space. But the Taurus piece that I talked about really makes it a lot more automation friendly. So you have GitHub checking out some code, then you have Jenkins, who's the big player in CI. You run some Selenium tests, run some JMeter tests. And then you're talking about Chef or Puppet or Ansible or one of these configuration automation solutions that will then stand up that deployment environment for you. And then further tests can be executed there. So yeah, we are automating the whole pipeline. I do a lot of work with AWS, and they have a solution called Code Pipeline, which does a lot of this as well. And I think in general, those technologies, those automation approaches are going to proliferate throughout the community. And you know, in a few years, I think automation will just be second nature for everybody.
We've talked about Taurus a few times, and we touched upon JMeter and BlazeMeter, but at a high level, what is BlazeMeter? What are the pieces of technology that make it up? Can you just tell us a little bit more about BlazeMeter?
Sure, yeah. And BlazeMeter got its inception addressing the problems, or let's say not even problems, but some of the shortcomings around the JMeter project. So it became pretty clear, I think, to our founder a few years ago that open source was the next wave. I think, you know, a lot of people saw this coming. And open source tools, they're built by the community, and it's often based on the community's level of interest. And what that means ultimately is some features may not get to where they need to be for enterprise grade consumption, right? And in JMeter's case, for example, it's traditionally a little bit difficult to scale JMeter yourself for a large distributed test. You have to set up a bunch of machines. You have to configure them to talk to each other. And then, you know, even there, depending on the nature of your JMeter script, you may get it wrong and have to do it over. And these are a lot of orchestrating problems to execute large JMeter tests. So that was the problem that our founder and the team set out to solve. How can we run JMeter in the cloud and automatically scale out the infrastructure required to run these very large tests? If you know how to run 100 concurrent users, you're fine with JMeter on your desktop. But when you want to run a 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, million concurrent user test, then it becomes very challenging. And so BlazeMeter was founded to solve that problem, as well as the problem on the other end, which is reporting. Like many tools, JMeter just gives you some XML files and some log files. But what the community, what the business community certainly wants, and what testers really appreciate are rich graphs and rich reports that they can, you know, quickly use to find the bottleneck, right? That's the whole point of load testing. BlazeMeter was founded with those two targets in mind, making orchestrating very, very large tests in the cloud super, super simple, and providing very rich and useful reports while the test was running, as well as over time after the test is done. Then what's happened over the last few years, as we've seen this DevOps and continuous delivery mania taking over the landscape, some of the other shortcomings of JMeter have started to come to the fore, notably that there's no domain-specific language for it. There's no way to really easily programmatically interact with a JMeter test. It's got some command line options and some other things that you can sort of do, but it's sort of a square peg and round hole kind of situation. So a guy named Andrei Pokilko, who's our chief scientist, he lives in Russia, and he created a tool called Taurus, like the bull, T-A-U-R-U-S. And Taurus provides that sort of an abstraction layer on top of JMeter, as well as some other tools like Locust and Gatling and the Grinder and Selenium. That gives teams the ability to describe these tests in a YAML file or a JSON file. And so they can, you know, sort of the YAML human readable, editable approach, where I can describe a test in a simple text file in the same editor that I'm using to write code, or I can programmatically interact with other components of my automation workflow with the JSON tests and execute these tests wherever it makes sense. So really, the next level for BlazeMeter is just really bringing load testing into these modern delivery pipelines in native ways that make it really, really easy for people to adopt load testing now that we want to do it more frequently.
Can you walk us through a very simple example of how someone would get started? Do they just create a JMeter script and then they upload it to the cloud at BlazeMeter, and then BlazeMeter handles all the scaling out and the reporting aspects of it after?
Yeah, so JMeter is kind of a topic all to itself, right? It's a tool that was created, I think it's probably about 12 years old. I don't quote me on that, but it's about 12 or 15 years old. And it was built very much to be the open source alternative to LoadRunner. So you'll find in JMeter a lot of sophisticated features. It's very, very capable. It's a different kind of paradigm. It's a thick client Java app that's largely driven by right clicks. And so it's a little bit weird, but it's got a lot of power. I mean, all the kinds of features that a professional load tester wants are available in JMeter. That also makes it a little bit hard for new users to kind of figure it out. But we have lots of good videos online, and there are some really good JMeter blogs. We also have a Chrome extension that works as an interactive recorder. Simply launch our Chrome extension, start working with your app, just like you would with VueGen or one of the other tools, and it will capture a script for you. So that's actually the easiest way to get started. But either way, if you have a JMeter script that you use in native JMeter, if you use our Chrome extension, you'll end up with that test plan file, which is, you know, those steps that you want to emulate for driving the load into the app. You upload that script to BlazeMeter, and then you select a couple of options. So we have a lot of advanced options. We integrate, for example, with APM. If you need to integrate with New Relic or AppDynamics or Dynatrace, we make those available. And that gives you a great way to find the needle in the haystack while that load is being driven. And we also have things like network emulation. If you want to emulate the speeds that are coming from mobile devices, you can do that. But you upload your script, choose some of these advanced options, and then you'll choose where that load should come from. And as a cloud provider, we make it really, really easy for people to drive load from throughout the internet, right? So you can choose a European location or an Asian location or a South American location or wherever you want. And you can spread your load, you know, across a bunch of different source locations so that you get a kind of a real world representation of network traffic. And then finally, you choose how many concurrent users you want. And we can scale up to 2 million. So if you come to BlazeMeter, you upload your script, and you decide you need 50,000 concurrent users, it's a simple slider in our web UI. You slide that up to 50,000, press start, and your test will start running. We'll do all the work to make sure that the right infrastructure is spun up to be able to execute that load.
Great. And I like how you said the reporting aspect is something that BlazeMeter really focuses on. For myself, in my experience with performance testing, usually the creation of the script was the easy part, but analyzing the results was the hardest. So is there anything specific to BlazeMeter's reporting that helps people identify issues quicker than normal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so that's sort of, like you said, that's kind of the thing that we really try to make simple for folks. Person who's using BlazeMeter, as soon as they start the test, will start to get immediate feedback. The KPIs will come in. And, you know, those are the sort of the high level stats, like number of concurrent users, the requests per second or the hits per second that the servers are handling. Also, response time, of course, the overall response time. And then also some percentiles, 90th percentile response time, 95th percentile, just to give the testers or the developers a sense of those big kind of important marquee metrics. But then what we provide is what we call a timeline graph, which shows each individual transaction in the script. For example, the home page versus the search function. And a user can go into those individual labeled transactions and work with an interactive graph that's building out in real time during the test, but is also available over time. The way they can do it is they can say, you know what, I see that the home page is slow. Now I want to drill in and see exactly what's happening there. Are there errors? Is the throughput throttled? Are we seeing response times go up at the same time that the load is hitting a certain point against that home page? And from there, we typically go into the monitoring data. We don't provide the monitoring data directly, but we integrate with CloudWatch, and certainly teams will be using, like I say, APM, New Relic, or AppDynamics, and so forth. And at that point, you'll kind of corroborate what BlazeMeter is showing as the choke point or the bottleneck with the application stack data that you're getting from the other tools that your team is using.
Awesome. So what always gets me nervous about performance testing where more people are getting involved is that in my experience, like once again, maybe this is an old school thing, and is it's very easy to create false alerts or fires and say our application's broken because someone aimed a 1,000 concurrent users at their application without any think time, and they told the management it took, you know, 40 seconds for a page to load when it should only take 2 seconds. Is there an approach you recommend people for creating realistic scenarios, especially as we get more different diverse applications interacting with your application? It may not necessarily be just a computer, but now you have all these other mobile devices that are also interacting with it.
Right. Yeah. So this is another good place where we're seeing sort of real progressive teams are mining their APM data. Dynatrace, New Relic, AppDynamics, as I've mentioned before, they all do a lot around understanding what real users are doing against the site. You might also be using Google Analytics or Mixpanel or Kissmetrics, things like that, marketing-oriented analytics tools that are also showing you the same thing. They're showing you, you know, what are my most frequently hit pages and what is my normal response time for these particular pages and what kind of activity is happening with the mobile app versus the web store and so forth. That becomes a great source of data that we can bring back to the front end of our pipeline and use to develop the right tests. In fact, we're doing a little bit of automation there. We're playing with some Python code that will query the New Relic API, find the top 10 slowest URLs, and immediately turn them into a performance test automatically. That's the exciting stuff for me, is kind of have that full feedback loop happening where we understand the performance profile in production, and then we take that data to make sure that we're testing the right things, especially as we move faster and faster with continuous delivery. We don't really have time to maintain scripts. If we have a script that was written 3 months ago, probably the worst thing we can do with load testing is to optimize code that nobody ever uses, right? We optimize code that doesn't execute because we're wasting time. So being able to understand what's happening in the production app up to the moment and then use that to feed our test design scenarios is a huge thing. It's a huge thing that we're seeing. And then, you know, from there also, to further answer your question, if you adopt a continuous performance testing approach like we do with BlazeMeter, what you end up with is a much greater familiarity with your baselines, right? Because you're running tests so frequently, you get a much better set of data over time. And in BlazeMeter, for example, you can compare multiple test runs, you know, day over day or hour over hour, however you're doing it. You get a much better sense of what the deviations are. So both of those become factors in having realistic load tests and realistic expectations for what those thresholds should be.
Awesome. Now, are there any functionality built into BlazeMeter that you think most people aren't aware of or it's underutilized that you're really excited about?
I think the two things that I'm not sure folks are using all that frequently. One is the Chrome Recorder that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. It's such a super simple way to get a script up and running. And it's a simple Chrome extension. You launch it and capture your interactions with the browser, and it immediately exports a JMeter script, and it can also export a JSON file and a TARIS script. So it does all this great little work, and it's just a brainless way to get started. You'll probably take that script and do much more sophisticated stuff with it in JMeter, but JMeter's recording is less than optimal. So I like the Chrome Recorder a lot. And the other is our mobile recorder, which I don't think a lot of people know about. Our mobile recorder, we host a secure proxy that's spun up just for you. You download a certificate to your device and then interact with your mobile app. And the reason that's important is because mobile APIs behave differently than website. The structure of the communication is different. And then, of course, the actual way the load is distributed is different. People don't tend to stay engaged with a mobile app for a long session. They'll do a little something. They'll get a phone call, or the bus will come, and they'll put their phone down, whatever. And then they'll go back to it later. So our mobile recorder not only captures that mobile traffic in its unique structure with all of its headers and user agents and all the other kinds of stuff that impact what the server sees from the client, but also we give people the ability to replay that traffic in those bursty and unique kind of mobile ways. So those, I think, are the two technologies that I would like to see people adopt more.
Awesome.
In BlazeMeter.
Very cool. Yeah, it sounds like great technology. I think if you can have a something that helps you create a script rather than starting from scratch and you can just build it out, I think that's a big benefit. Do you have any recommendations for books or resources that someone could go to learn more about performance testing in general or JMeter?
There are some good JMeter books. I think there's one in particular, I believe it's called the JMeter Cookbook. There's a new edition of it, second edition of the JMeter Cookbook. That's great because it takes you right to, you know, specific exercises. Here's how to record a script. Here's how to replay a script with, so many concurrent users and some custom headers and cookies, things like that. So you can get right into meaningful exercises that teach you how to use JMeter for specific operations and such. I like that one a lot. We also, our BlazeMeter resources page, BlazeMeter.com/resources, has a ton of tutorials and training videos and lots of helper tools for people to get up and running with JMeter. And in fact, I think that's one of our more popular pages that people visit.
Okay, Michael, before we go, is there one piece of actual advice you can give someone to improve their performance testing efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
That's a good question. I don't know that there's a magic bullet. I would say just do it more. That's good. My big advice is to do it. Get it done. You know, we're seeing reports coming out from different research that's out there. Akamai comes to mind. There's an Akamai report that came out from last year's holiday season telling us that, 49% of users that they surveyed expect a page to load in under 2 seconds. And 30% expect under 1 second. 18% were sub-second response times. They want instant response. So I think the importance of performance is increasing intensely. And the way we need to handle that is to just do it more often. Figure out the discipline. You know, you'll figure out JMeter or some other tool. You'll learn about it. But just start doing it. Engage with your developers. Engage the community of practice around your stack. Get performance testing done. Then we'll start to, work on all those details. And the best way to get in contact with me is sage@blazemeter.com, sage@blazemeter.com. And also on Twitter, I'm Mondo Sage.
Thank you, Michael, for your BlazeMeter continuous performance testing awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/75. And while you're there, underneath the exclusive sponsor section, click on the Sign Up Now link to learn all about Sauce Labs awesome products and services. And if this episode has helped you in any way, or you think it could help someone you know, why not share it with a coworker? And together, we can help spread automation awesomeness. And make sure to click and subscribe to Test Talks in iTunes. And while you're there, why not leave a review? They really do help in the rankings, and I appreciate all the feedback. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.